up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Hey, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
You talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. How's time out? A wet Ricky on the board. It's a, was the song, A Rainy Night in Georgia. It's a rainy morning in Chicago. Trucks in the ditch everywhere. Standing water on expressways. It's just a beautiful morning. What do you think, Ricky?
It's a mess, man. It's a mess out there. Sorry I'm late, by the way. But, yeah, we made it here.
We're here. Thankfully. We're here. We're dry. We're safe.
That's correct.
The windshield wipers worked. A lot of good things have happened.
Yeah, that's true, man. I'm very thankful for that.
S&P futures down 10. NASDAQ futures down 50. We're down yesterday morning. We came flying right back up. So I don't. Every dip seems like there's a buyer. At least it seems like that now. Earnings last night. We have Home Depot. It's up 787. They had good earnings. Do we have Professor Carl?
You do.
How are you, bud?
So, well, you know, I'm doing fine. It's this weather pattern, you know, I mean, it's called spring, right? I mean, we get stuff like this every year, but it's been kind of interesting. You know, it looks like you guys are getting a round of pounding, and...
Well, after the dust storm, we could use a little water.
Well, you know, that's... It's one of the things I always think is so fascinating is every time there is, you know, any kind of significant weather, it's, oh, you know, it's global warming. It's, you know, it's we humans, we're screwing the planet. And I'm like, you know, I've lived here now for, you know, about 6 years. And, you know, 20 in Northwest Florida before that, and then in the Midwest for in one way or another for most of my life. And the thing that I think is so fascinating is that this area in particular has always been feast or famine when it comes to water. Okay, I mean, there are years that I mow the grass, you know, once a month, right? because yeah. It's just not raining enough. And I'm on city water, so if I want to, you know, if I want to irrigate, bend over. But on the other hand, there are also years that I'm out there at least once a week, or it's a jungle. It's just the way it is. And this looks like this is turning into one of those. So,
we had one summer where we used to play softball in Horner Park. And a lot of times we have, you know, the years where we played on Tuesday night, where it just like rained every Tuesday night, you know, God was against us. Then one year, well, we won in 2016. We played like a year or two after that, and the league disbanded. But I'm going to say maybe 2014, 13, somewhere in there. It was a summer that was so dry. You know how they say, you know, don't worry about grass going brown. It just goes dormant and it comes right back.
Oh, well, yeah.
But this, in a park, when you have the grass is all brown like that and people continue to
walk. Oh, it gets destroyed.
Totally gets destroyed. And you know, nobody cares, but I'm some things in this world love me big time, and they're called mosquitoes.
Yeah,
they absolutely adore me. I don't know what the attraction is, but something is. I did not get one bite that entire summer. And normally,
well, you know, okay, so that's, you know, that's a curious thing, because there's two things that happen that cause them to be attracted to you. One is they seek carbon dioxide; they can sense it. But the other thing is that all animals emit it's an alcohol from in their breath, okay, and CO2 is part of the thing, but the other is that, And it, some humans emit a little bit more, some humans emit a little bit less. But if you're one of the little bit more, oh boy, are you a mosquito magnet.
If there's a group of people,
you get bit.
As soon as I walk inside, everybody else has to come in.
Yeah.
But you know, here's something for you, Professor. God, this is not exactly Snacks and Jack's talk, but I got a buddy. He's been on the show a couple times. A restaurant Al. He's run a bunch of restaurants, and he's a Hunter Fisher kind of guy, and loves going out and doing mushrooms and stuff. And he's telling me, yeah, we're going out. He knows how in the woods to go get the right mushrooms for cooking. We're not going to get the poison ones.
Yeah. You know what? He's better at it than I am.
Yeah. And he's telling me how he has to make sure when he goes hunting or anything, he's got all this stuff on, all the way up, socks and the boots. And I go, what do you know that for? And he goes, for ticks.
Right.
And I go, what do you mean ticks? I have never had a tick on me. I've had women, once in a while, one of the dogs is sleeping with us and want to walk across, being very rare. They want no part of me.
So yeah, well,
Al says, guess what he says to me? He goes, ticks love me. Yeah. I go, no, it's mosquitoes to me. He goes, I've never had a mosquito bite.
Yeah, well.
What do you suppose the difference is? Is it a different blood type or what? Ticks run away from me. Mosquitoes come flying at me, and he's just the opposite.
Well, ticks are nasty because, you know, they're disease-carrying as well. And, you know, I mean, everybody knows about Lyme disease, but it's not just Lyme disease. It's others. And so the answer to that is there's this stuff called permethrin. You could buy it in a Sawyer mix it in a spray bottle. You can get it at Walmart. You don't spray it on you. You spray it on your clothing. And you allow it to dry before you put the clothing on. And not a single biting anything, not a single insect, I don't care what it is, stinging, biting, whatever, they won't come anywhere near you.
Really?
And the stuff lasts, it'll stay on your clothing through a couple of washings. I spray it on my sleeping bags, my tents, my hiking clothes, and I found out about
what's
this
in
stuff.
It? That DDT, I hope.
No, it's permethrin is actually it's an extract, well, synthetically made now, but it's from chrysanthemum flowers.
Really?
And it is poisonous to insects. It is absolutely harmless to humans and other animals. The exception is when it's wet, it's dangerous to cats. Once it's dried, it's fine. But when wet, it's dangerous to cats. But you can actually spray it on your dog. It's for dogs, it's in many of the flea and tick, okay. The commercial flea and tick sprays.
What's the flowers you're supposed to plant if you don't like stuff? Rosemary and a bunch of other stuff that you plant. Bugs don't like those things either.
Yeah, it's just, it's fascinating. But I mean, like, it's, if you have problems with, you know, with insects around your deck or stuff, if you spray it on your deck, not a single, I mean, it's hornets, everything, they all stay away from it.
They
won't come anywhere near it.
Final bug story. This has me nervous. You're going to tell me I should be more nervous. Chris used to do the show with us. I don't know, him and his wife, I think, moved or something. But he was our agriculture guy. And they do once a year, they get three or four people in pickup trucks or thereabouts, or RVs or something. They head out to this farm, and they pick sweet corn, and they drop, you know, thousands of ears of street corn at the Chicago Food Depository, which, of course, is gone within a day. The Chicago Food Depository is amazingly efficient as getting stuff out to people.
Right.
And he goes, you got to have the hat with the net over your face.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, the whole bit, he goes, this, you know, again, this has me shuddering a little bit. Evidently, sweet corn has to be picked by hand. There's no machine that picks up sweet corn.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, because the other stuff, you know, takes the corn, grinds it up, and does the whole bit. Well, you don't want that happening. You're sweet corn. You want the ear coming off whole.
Yeah, okay.
So he says the bugs, with all the new seeds that the bugs don't like, the corn, because you're walking down there and the bugs are all over you, and yet they're buzzing around the corn. They don't go on the corn. And I'm thinking, do I really want to eat with that corn? The bugs don't like it. Do I like it? You know.
Yeah, you gotta wonder sometimes, right?
It's like the Hostess cupcake I found in my truck 6 months after my young nephew lost it there. Carl, it was pristine. There wasn't a piece of mold on it. There wasn't a bug on it. There was nobody wanted it.
Okay, Chief, you've seen the movie Zombieland, right?
Bits and pieces.
Anyway, so
it looked like the baby Ruth in Animal House.
Oh yeah, I know.
I'm sitting there going, that can't be the cupcake. I'm talking after a hot summer.
Yeah. No. I. Yeah.
Hey. Switching gears. I sent you that thing. I don't know if I'm just in the wrong spot here or what, but everybody I talk to is doing nothing but. What if we had some movers in on Saturday? I'm talking to one of the guys. Imagine that, me talking to some dude.
Yeah.
The guy says something about, geez, I lost my mother 2 weeks ago. And I'm looking at the guy, and he's mid-40s. I'm going, oh, you know, maybe. And he goes, you know, my aunt was 3 weeks ago, and two of my high school buddies in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And everybody, the amount of, every time I go by, funeral homes are mobbed. What the hell
is going
on? Well,
it's been going on for a while, Chief.
I don't know, is it just me, or does it seem like my buddy here in the building, Salvador, the Hispanic guy, says, say it a death in the family 6 months ago. You know, I guess a way older uncle that liked to drink and smoke himself to death and still made it to like 90. He says, but the priest said, I've never buried so many young people. Usually it's like one a year. Now it's like somebody every month or something. So you know, the priest asking him what the hell's going on.
Well... I know
where you're. Is it?
You know where I'm going.
I know. But is it other stuff? Is it just that? Is it? It can't. I mean, was it starting before that? Is it a real number? Or am I just getting a small sample? I guess first.
It's a real number, and the other aspect of it, which is really I mean, leave the pokey poke out of it. All right, for a minute, because if you look at the actuarial data. You know, the Social Security trustees, I mean, that's their one job, right? I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are actuaries. That's any life insurance place is.
Yeah.
And that kind of sort of is a life insurance thing, right? So, I mean, that's their job. And, you know, it's like I was talking about on the list with you, you know, the other day. We have spent over the last, you know, 20 years, 30 years, absolute vertical ascent in healthcare. Okay, I mean, just vertical in terms of money. You would think with that kind of, I mean, it's gone up by like a factor of five, right?
Yeah.
There was the whole, you know, Obamacare was to a large degree because the healthcare system was collapsing, okay? And rather than let it collapse and sort itself out in the economy, which would have happened, and there would have been misery, and there's no question that it would not have been fun if it had been allowed to go boom. All right, I mean, I'm not trying to say it would have; it would not have. However, that was the right thing to do, and the reason it was the right thing to do is that we've blown trillions of dollars, huge percentages of it on cancer. All right. And yet, if you look at the actuarial data, and I don't care where you start, let's start as 30-year-olds, right? Because let's face it, if you get through childhood and you get into adulthood, the odds, where most of the life expectancy gains have come from sanitation, things like this, it was not, you know, everyone says, oh well, you know, everybody lived on average to be 50 in the 1920s. That's true, but that's because a huge percentage of those people never made it to 18.
Yeah, huge amounts of childhood diseases. Anybody who had a family of 10 kids, there's always a couple that didn't make it. Not always, but...
Well, that's the thing, averages are that way, right? I mean, statistics reflect, you know, mathematical facts, but that's where the gains came from. It's all on the young end. If you made it to adulthood... The odds were, even then, were pretty good that you were going to, you know, make it to 60 or 70.
Except everybody smoked. That's a problem.
Well, actually, that was a World War One plus thing.
Well, World War II, really they gave everybody free stuff, and you thought you were going to die the next day, so everybody got hooked.
Well, that's right. I mean, they gave all the GIs free smokes, right? I mean, that was by the way, stimulants are, you know, a kind of a common thing in wars. Duh, and nicotine's a stimulant. So... But that's where that, you know, where that rate skyrocketed. Well, of course, you would expect, as we've gotten smarter about that, and now, you know, smoking cessation is a thing, life expectancy did go up some. But if you look at it from like 2004, the actuarial data that that is on the site, on the Social Security's trustee's site, goes back about 20 years. You look at it then and you look at it the last year that is currently available, which is what they use for the 2024 report. It's always a couple of years behind, so that's from 2022. It's absolutely flat as a board all the way across the age ranges in terms of remaining years of life. Okay, I mean, I'm serious. It's less than a year worth of delta, and some of the deltas are negative. Now, if you go back to 2019, which was the year before COVID, all right, it was all of this time, 20 years, and all of this money that's been blown, the delta's about a year. And interestingly enough, the change, so remember, during the time of COVID, what we were told was, you're going to kill grandma. Old people are so much more susceptible. The 2019 to 2022 number delta, which is where the disease was. We don't have 23 or 24 yet, but the 2019 to 2022 delta was actually larger in the younger cohorts.
Really?
It decreased as you got older. Now, not largely, but then the change is not that large. So, I mean, this is the plague of the 21st century.
There were nursing homes that got absolutely dismantled.
The Kirkland, the one out in Washington, was the first one, right? Yeah. It nearly got emptied. All right. So, I mean, I
was one in New York, one of my clients.
Well, New York was horrible. And
they had one where some dude, he was, where the hell was he? He was at one of the famous hospitals in New York. What the hell's the name of it? I guess it would be. There's a hospital in New York. It was always on NYPD Blue and everything like that.
Right.
Anyway, this guy worked there and moonlighted in one of their nursing homes that these guys owned. And the dude would come at night and he'd moonlight and he'd serve dinners and stuff with them. He didn't even change his scrubs, evidently. And
right.
He infected 45 people in one night. I don't know. I think half of them croaked.
Seriously, it was like really, really serious stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not making light of the fact that they're clear. I mean, if you look at the information from the New York Coroner's Office, which I followed at the time and wrote a bunch of articles about because they were publishing the data daily. The thing that I found most interesting was that if you took, they had a list of about a half dozen things that they considered to be comorbid factors, pre-existing heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, particular, right? If you didn't have any of those and you were 80 years old, you basically laughed at this thing. And yet, if you had any of those diseases, regardless of your age, it multiplied the odds of you getting whacked by it by like a factor of five.
This guy who put on our communication stuff here. Real nice guy. He actually had his own line of barbecue sauce and rub. I really liked the guy. He had bad diabetes. You look at him, he looked like he could be playing offensive line tomorrow. He was in great shape. He didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the thing. It was just. But now what we're seeing. I mean, you just saw the thing about Biden. I've read so many medical papers. I made a thing out of going after biotechs on either the long or the short side during the 08 time period because I was looking for longs, right? I mean, the thing was to short the phone book. And yet, all right, well, there's no balance in that, right? I mean, and you get a face-ripping rally, and, oh, my God. So I was looking for sectors that had other, that I could take the other side of the bet on.
Well, plus we've got interest rates going up, and it doesn't seem to bother the market. This is the Weimar Republic all over again. We're just pouring money in.
Well, and, one of the interesting things about that is you look at the 30-year, there's a very interesting pattern in the chart on the 30-year bond right now, which I mean, there are people yelling about this. I'm not sure, you know, oh, the Fed has restarted QE. I don't, all right, maybe they have, maybe they haven't, you know, by stealth. But there is clearly a sawtooth kind of pattern going on where, for whatever reason, it spikes, someone comes in and buys the hell out of it.
I think if you look close last week, it's the first uptick, small one, in the Federal Reserve balance sheet. So when it runs up, they're the ones that, I think that's where you're going with this.
Well, it is small and it is absolutely there. Okay, I'm not arguing that. But it's not large. But the thing that is interesting is that the curve continues now this morning it's getting pounded down a little bit, right? The IRX TNX, which I watch very, very carefully because it's a health indicator, especially when it's negative. Right, you know, we've got a positive slope, but it's becoming more positive, which is generally a good thing. But you just saw Moody's come out and say, oh, yeah, you know, that AAA thing, you know, well, into the bin that goes. Gee, how, you know, you're 10 years late, guys. But this process that we have, this so-called big, beautiful bill that's going through, what spending reductions? What comity in terms of you know, this?
Well, the only thing they're trying to do is they're trying to, is there, the idea, I just, well, we're almost out of time, but we've got some good stuff to talk about. But the idea that the you know, I won't say individually, I'm sure they're pretty good people. How can they sit there fighting over this thing, working all night long for essentially a budget-busting bill, and when whatever they come up with is going to be a fifth of the size of the tax increase that we got blown by them without they even knowing about?
Well, it's not even that, Chief. It's that on balance, I mean, you know, look, I, you know, give credit where credit is due, and I have. We had the first real month of, you know, all Trump, everything Trump's administration, and it was a very sizable. I mean, if you took it and extrapolated it out over 12 months, it was close to $1 trillion in deficit delta on the deficit going the right way. Okay, that looked good, but I never.
Well, you listen to his numbers; they're not the real numbers.
Well, but I never. Yeah, but I believe a check register, okay? The thing is, I never take 1 month's worth of economic data as anything other than a, yeah, okay, that's interesting. Give me three in a row, and I start to pay attention. Because it's very, because you can play games, you pay people late across the monthly boundary, whatever, and it's really easy to do, and every administration does it, especially in September. It's the reason that the September-October delta is always enormous. And it's intentional, and nobody cares about it. It's just the way life is in the United States. But last month, the increasing deficit, you know, da 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 da, right back to where it was, erased all of this that, you know, that looks so good. April is always a difficult month to try to read.
Really, what you're really doing is talking about how people's income was last year in April. It's hard to peg.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that April is a month that you have to be very careful with because, again, you have to pay your taxes, right?
Yep. we got to dash off to Joel. Maybe you'll be back, if not on Friday. I tell you this. I don't think I've been any more disgusted with any politician as much as Trump rants like you know, in the last 3 days he's insulted, two entertainers, the Supreme Court. But when J.D. Vance talked yesterday about Biden, now, I almost had to reach for the Earth's sickness bag. What's wrong with that guy?
You know, I got to take the other side on that. We have, and it's not just the Biden administration. It's across the board. We have essentially a propaganda department.
I'm getting that. I understand that. But
that has to stop.
Okay, I get that. What I'm saying is, the man doesn't know anything. Neither do you or I about Biden's condition. I just watched Audrey's lovely cousin died after 2 months. Her husband died, and she was fine. A week later, she's not feeling good. They diagnosed her with some kind of cancer.
Yeah.
It's through her, like, in 2 months, she's dead. Wonderful lady. So why does this guy, who knows nothing about Biden's condition, start going back to he must have had it a year ago, and they covered it up?
Because
he has no idea. It might be true, but he has no business saying that because he doesn't know.
Well, he does have business saying that because the president of the United States, unlike you or I, okay, if they pop up with me having some weird, you know, thing and it gets me 6 months later,
He doesn't know, Colonel. I suspect he's right, but he doesn't know. I just saw somebody diagnosed and 2 months are dead. The guy from
Chief, it's the most medically surveilled person on the planet.
There was the guy from who was the Upshaw? Gene Upshaw was the head of the third in line in the NFL.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with cancer on Monday. Sunday he was in hospice care on Wednesday. He was dead on Friday. I mean,
guess what the likely cause of that was?
It was pancreatic cancer.
Uh-huh. And guess why he likely got pancreatic cancer?
I don't. I have no idea.
Well, I do, because if you screw your immune system, look, we
all
have
cancer.
This is
years ago. This had nothing to do with COVID.
I get this, and it happens. Okay, and there are cancer, pancreatic cancer in particular, has this way of being detected in almost every case.
Carl, there's all kinds of stuff that you and I suspect, and maybe two-thirds of the time we could be right, okay, because we're not dummies. We're not the vice president. We're not on TV. We don't start speculating on somebody else's health. This new world I just can't handle. I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? They hid the fact that who basically said, I can't prosecute this guy because he's demented. They deliberately prevented
when are we going to stop? Have we finally given up about Hillary? When is it going to be about Biden? How healthy is this guy who's in there now?
You know what? That's why I have a problem with it. Not only did they cover up everything related to Biden's mental state for 4 years, okay, including before
I'm saying I'm all with you on the fact
I don't believe Trump's okay either.
Okay, what I'm saying is I would think that somebody who is a vice president has a little bit more discretion in their talk. And I guess I'm not going to get it in my lifetime, so I should stop arguing about it. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't think you're going to get it from either side of the aisle.
No,
because
I understand
certainly
it.
Yeah.
I understand it. Okay, S&P futures down 11. As if you're not, well, maybe you'll be back, but maybe Kenny will be here. We want to go right to Joel?
Yeah, that works.
Joel, you with us? How are you, buddy?
I'm with you.
So,
you guys are having a spirited discussion.
Well, I'm very concerned, Joel. I don't really want to talk about this. I'm very concerned that at the end of the day, I know nobody's perfect, and we're not going to get a Solomon or a George Washington again. But the last thing this country needs is for somebody to take us down the moral road even more, where it's okay to insult people, it's okay to talk about people's medical condition when you don't know. That's not the way I was brought up. I guess I shouldn't say anything about it on the air because it's just me. I can't do that, and I don't want other people doing it that essentially are in my employ, which the vice president is, even though he doesn't think he is, probably. Just saying. There's a decency about you and about Carl and about Kevin and about people on this show that somehow or another our elected officials don't seem to have anymore, and I think it's rubbing off on people the wrong way, that they think it's all okay, and you know what? It's not. I don't think, but maybe it is. Just saying.
So maybe I missed something. Okay. J.D. Vance made some not nice comments here.
No, they asked him about Biden's prostate cancer.
Right.
And he said, well, he feels bad about it, and it's not about politics, and launched into a 10-minute tirade about how he probably had it all along and blah, 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 and he's another cover-up by the Democrats, but he has no idea whether he did or didn't.
I see the news, but I'll just say that I heard the end of your discussion and just what you just said there, and I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, the decency, it's just a fabric. It's now the moral fabric of our country, that this kind of stuff is acceptable, and that it's of all the things that have gone on, and you could sense it. You could sense this, going back, 8-9 years that this was the direction that we were going in, and so it's,
oh, yeah, it's,
not,
it's not just these guys. It's not just these guys. No.
No. I know. But it is. But we can talk about the markets now. We can talk about sports. What do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the markets. What do you make about the interest rates running up here, and it doesn't seem to be bothering
no
the
one
market?
Cares. Yet, no one cares. No one cares.
And I see this tax bill is coming out as it's gonna add to the deficit, not detract.
Yep.
From it.
Yep. It's a silver lining market.
Some of that can be just money coming in, right? We can devalue the dollar and raise the market up, which we've done for a long time. Is there a limit to that, or do you have people that have just don't seem to have the assets, are always going to be so far behind everybody else? Problem is, I have with that is that I've seen a few other countries do that, and it starts to get look so good that they keep doing it, and all of a sudden it doesn't. We did that in the 20s, by the way.
Yeah, what happened then?
I mean, I think we're better at it now. I don't think that will happen. God, I hope not. But somehow along the line, we've had discussions yesterday with Nancy and John Flanagan about how interest rates went from 3% to essentially 7% on home mortgages, and the prices are up, which normally you would think isn't necessarily the is not really the direction. If you would have gave that to an economics class and everybody said the prices would be up, I think you'd have a lot of failed papers. But so far, they'd be right, right?
Yeah. I mean, we'll get some more information on the housing market coming up, with Toll Brothers. I believe they're after the close tomorrow.
Wasn't Hov Nanian this morning or last night? HOV?
Hubbian. Yeah, that's kind of the less talked about one. These stocks have been in extended downtrends, need lower interest rates. The housing market's plodding along. But that's one tenet of the economy that, really, if that can get going, if that can recover, it helps so many. It helps out in the labor. It helps out with your Home Depots. It helps out with your, suppliers. So that's an important part of the economy. And, right now it's really battling the interest rate trend. Right now, the market doesn't care.
No.
It just absolutely does not care about the bond market. And the tariffs, it's a silver lining market, Chief. We've been there before, and that's where we're at right now.
What individual stocks, and again, you can never really... the only thing I can say is, in general, is stocks evolve, and this is one of the most... fun thing, challenging thing about being in the business is when stocks come out, there's some sort of, they've got a new widget, they got something, right? And they have this growth phase, and it's really hard to price them in a growth phase because you don't know how far it's going to go. Then someday, somewhere, they get priced as kind of a commodity in whatever section they're in. Look at like an eBay or someplace. Then all of a sudden, even though the company's doing fine, the multiple sort of drops, and you don't get this big rise in the market. Now, picking those points is very, very is very difficult to do, right? And yet, I'm surprised that the top seven here that are continuing, to grab big chunks of the market. That part is very similar to the 2000 phenomenon, the dot-bomb phenomenon, where you had five or six stocks that essentially were 45% of the Qs and got to be a huge chunk of the, and yet. There was, somewhat of a comeuppance. I think part of that was the Fed after Y2K cut back on the money supply growth a little bit or something. But now it seems like whatever it is, there's no real. I mean Microsoft, by the way, they've managed themselves fantastically for a long time, and they've gotten away with every antitrust thing that I think they're guilty of. But it doesn't seem to bother anybody. But I mean, you're talking about a company that is dramatically huge, and you look at their revenue to share ratio and their earnings to share ratio. You just look at it and say that they're priced like this growth company, and yet if they double, is everybody in the country working for Microsoft? I mean, I guess I don't. So how do people that big double? I mean, and that's the thing that has me a little bit bizarre about it.
They had good earnings. I mean, they're all trading at higher valuations, Chief. That's something we've talked about for a long time. The market is accepting of it until it's not. And I mean, you know, you look at, you know, Apple. I mean, you know, that's still, you know, trading in high valuations, no growth. You know, Google's been hurt. But you know what? The market, just with the indexing, just tech-heavy S&P 500, I mean, if you're not in the stocks as a money manager, regardless, you're just left out in the cold.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's all I could say. And just real quick, I don't know if it's still, but the Motor City Kitties have the best record in baseball.
So, yeah, did they pick people up, or did they just have guys from last year doing better with them?
They did. They just picked up Claybar Torres from the Yankees, but they pretty much stand pat, and they're letting the younger players develop. A couple players that were expected to have higher production last year coming through. Tremendous pitching staff. You know, the Cy Young Award winner, and they also picked up Jack Flaherty, and I don't know. They're doing things right. Still early in the season, but they share a nice vibe here in the Motor City.
Well, didn't somebody buy one of their best players, or a couple didn't lose some of their best guys?
Was that
2 years ago?
Are you talking about when they got like Verlander?
That was a while ago.
That was a while ago. Yep, that's it. But all right, Chief, I'll let you get back to your banter with Carl there. And as always, go blue, and we'll check in next week.
By the way, did you see out of the blue, they were like total middle of the pack. Evidently, the Irish baseball team might almost make the NCAAs.
Really?
I thought they were terrible. As Kevin said, they were middle of the pack at best, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Roy Hobbs must have showed up or something.
Streaks. You know about sports. It's all about streaks.
Well, it is. That's for sure. Anyway, bud, take care of yourself. Do we have Kenny?
I don't see Kenny yet, but I got Carl in the meeting still.
Yeah, it's you know, Kevin is texting me, of course, about how now they have some expert about, you know, whether Biden had this or didn't. I actually know a real lot about prostate cancer because my stepfather had it, and I went to him with all the treatments and stuff. And I'm going to say that it's probably, if somebody were to look at a PSA test for Biden, unless it's some rare form, he probably had a high PSA rating a year ago, probably.
Probably had a high PSA rating 5 years
maybe.
Ago.
Maybe, okay, but the thing of it is, I don't know that, and it's not any of my business. We're not talking about whether there's facts here. We're talking about whether there's decency.
And oh, yeah. Well,
the problem I have with the people who like this administration, if you like them, everything they say is okay, no matter how much they insult people or whatever. That's not me.
Chief, there's no decency left in the world.
These guys are taking it to a new level.
I'm just saying. It's been gone for a long time.
There are people that still have some. Maybe they don't care. They never get to TV, though. That's the problem. They never get to TV.
Well, that's right. You know, I got thrown off DC. I got thrown off TV for saying that the people that robbed everybody during the run-up to the 08 crash all ought to go to prison.
Well, yeah.
Because you can't say that because, oh, by the way, they're the ones buying all the ad time.
Well, yeah, how do we come back from this? How do we come back from it? What did Warren Buffett say? You should reserve the right to call somebody a son of a bitch till you slept on it. You can still call him a son of a bitch tomorrow.
Well, that's I mean, my general rule is when you have breaking news like this, I have a 24, usually a 48-hour rule that I don't post a commentary article for a day. I may write it, but I don't actually put it up on the site. And the reason is exactly that. I want to think about it. Whatever my first reaction is, I want to let it roll around in my head for, you know, for a day before I say, yeah, okay, I'm willing to say that out loud.
Well,
a lot of times I end up saying, okay, this is exactly what I wanted to say. Here it is. Bang. And but sometimes, no.
I mean, as a person who was with my stepfather at every one of these things, and I don't think prostate cancer has changed much, he ended up, he was probably, I want to say 60-ish,
yeah,
maybe. And he went to the radiologist guy who said, you can do that. He went to the surgeon guy and said, we can do this. And then somebody else said, well, you know, he had circulatory problems. And the guy said to him, you know, it's probably not going to kill you for 10, 11 years. And do you think that you're going to last basically 10 or 11? It's a right. real tough conversation.
Well, the
point is, if he'd have been president at age 60 and he's got this higher, thing is, right. I don't know that I need to tell somebody that the next day if I decide. They say I'm going to be okay.
Well, I don't either, Chief. And this is and like I said, this is I've done plenty of reading on this whole thing, going all the way back. If you take any 80-year-old guy that dies of gets in a car accident, right, and he's dead, you cut every 80-year-old dude out. They just open up, take a look. Essentially, all of them have prostate cancer. It's just that something else gets you first. So but the idea that you go from everybody by that age has it, to it comes out of nowhere in 12 months and kills you.
Well, some of it gets, and everybody was blow by blow on this, was when, died from that was Paul Bear Bryant. Some people have it. It either stays there or you can take somebody's prostate out if they're younger, and they never have a problem again. It's
right.
Other people, it gets out of there in a rush, and all of a sudden it's all over him. He's one of his players. Talk about a weird. One of his players said he saw him hobbling across the field and walking up the steps to the wherever the tower where they watch practice. Those guys. He figures, why is he walking so slow? Evidently, the guy had a huge bag of ice basically on his balls.
Oh God!
And he's walking across the field in this hot weather, and the guy goes,
something's wrong there.
You can rest assured that I practiced hard for that guy, because if he's doing that to watch me, he obviously it got out of the gate on everything from him.
Yeah, well, you know what? It does happen. Okay, I am a deep skeptic that anything that we're getting from anybody when it comes to the president or whatever, any of it's truthful.
Plus, I don't know where. If it was you or me, where you would draw the line?
I'm 61, okay? So, I'm in the group where, the probability starts to go up on a serious basis. Every person, you have to make these decisions, and they are tough calls. And one of the reasons they're tough calls is that you go in there and you take that thing out. You are tampering with the immediate area that deals not only with essentially guaranteed to destroy your sexual function, it also has a very high probability of destroying urinary continence.
Oh, yeah.
And there, boy, is that a tough one, because if it wasn't going to get you and you do that and you destroy those two things, not only are you done sexually for the rest of your life, but on top of that, you're walking around with a bag on taped to your leg. So, are you willing to take that risk when you don't know if it's going to get you? And that is a really tough and very deeply personal decision. I'm not going to second guess somebody who goes either way on that, Chief, because I can see myself saying, I'd rather be dead than have those two things happen.
What happened to my stepfather, it was the deal where if we use the radiation, eventually there's going to be scar tissue from the radiation that screws you up.
Right.
But it's going to be 10 years out, and basically with his circulation problems, they determined
you're not going to last 10 years.
He did last 10 years. In his last couple of years, he had real problems.
Is that it's a gamble, right? It's not like lung cancer where get it out right now or else, right? It's not that kind of a disease. Or for that matter, pancreatic cancer, which is basically you're done. Get your, whatever your affairs are, get them in order. So,
it's a tough. It's not about what happened. It's about the decency. Just wish the guy well. Done. Enough. That's just me.
My whole problem with it is, this is a guy who did not wish people well. A number of years ago, he was a full participant, and you know what? Trump's the same way, because he's the one in charge, right? I got all kinds of problems with saying, well, all's forgiven, never mind the stack of bodies over here. No, it's not. And you know what? We all have to atone and account for ourselves whenever this time in our mortal coil is over. And
I just the people that are doing this somehow or another, I will say this, I think Trump and his gang is benefiting more directly than any president I've ever seen. But the other people around him just benefited seemingly dramatically. And I think the same people are running the show. Actually, they changed a little bit, I think, because if you read the stuff in the book John Lee gave me regarding America in the Middle East, I think up until maybe the Bush administration, even second Bush, the oil guys were the people in charge.
Oh, yeah.
And now I don't think they are. I think it's a... I don't know who exactly the new group is, but it's not all about oil anymore.
Well, I have a fairly decent idea, but you're not allowed to talk about it.
No, I have a fairly decent idea, too, but...
You know, I'll tell you what, though. The other thing, some of the stuff that I see that is totally stupid, you know, Besant. In fact, I have this article up on my screen because I want to make sure I brought it up, and, you know, we ran out of time, and now, you know. I think Kane's actually on, and I'm taking from him at this point, so I should stop. But some of the stuff that came about Besant, the quote that he stuck out that ended up on Fox Business yesterday, I wanted to throw up.
That guy is, I have a real problem with him, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, what was it, by the way?
What did he say?
He says, oh, this is a backward-looking thing. This is they were talking about the Moody's downgrade, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I saw
backward-looking thing, penalizing us for all the reckless spending of the Biden administration, but we're cutting spending, and we got supply-side growth. Oh, really? You're cutting spending?
What they've done is raise taxes.
Well,
why can't anybody say that?
The deficit is a function of how much you tax and how much you spend.
And they just raised taxes four times the last biggest tax increase.
Well, I'm saying if you close that, you changed one of those two variables, right? Because that's the definition.
Well, it's one thing to lie to people.
Well, that's lying through your teeth.
I know. It's one thing to lie to people. It's quite another. I mean, you know, Trump was ranting against the Walmart people. Just eat the tariffs. What he really?
Oh, well, that was the other thing too.
Okay, right, what is he really saying?
No,
he said Walmart should pay the whole tax.
No. What he's saying is Walmart. No, it's even worse than that. That's bad enough. What's worse is that he just said in public that Walmart has an illegal felony monopoly. Because if they don't. And if they're not a monopoly.
He's not that smart.
Somebody's going to eat them for breakfast.
He's not that smart.
Well,
he doesn't get that.
He may not be that smart, but you know what? He just said that on national television, too.
He's put the tax out there, and now he's kind of upset that people are recognizing it's a tax.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, my answer is start throwing people in jail and the problems will all solve themselves.
Well, my question is, I'm going to talk to about Hal because he did a lot of work on how much the tariffs will actually raise prices. And he came out, by the way, he's listening. So he came out at roughly, I think it was around 8.2, 8.4, which, by the way, if I'd have pulled a number out of my behind, it would have been right about that number. But that's what I would have guessed.
I would have bet closer to 10, but yeah.
No, I'm going to say what he's saying is that he thinks the people overseas will eat about 2% of the 10.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
here's the part that maybe you can help with because you know more about this than him or me. That's why I have trouble with everybody who's talking about this on radio or TV, including myself, because I know that everything I say is good for maybe one item, because every single item has a different graph to it, a different chart. And with some stuff, you only get from another place. So if you really need it, it's going up 10%, unless they eat a little bit, like Hal's saying. But why would they? Because they got no competitor. Then there's people who sort of have competitors that have maybe you can do something a little bit different, but there's no way they can match the volume. Then there's people who have real competitors where if you don't get it from China, by the way, you get on a block and you buy it from this guy. So out of the thousands and thousands of products, some fit all into that area. The part that I'm having trouble with, and I don't know how to get there, and I don't even know if he'll get there, but I will ask him, but I want your opinion first. What about the one that has a competitor here how much are the people here going to raise their price because now they can? That's the number we're sort of missing.
Well, that's the number we don't know.
We don't know, because that's the part where, in my simple world, I've given the same example 10 times now, if it's only Mercedes's complete come in this place and their competitor is Cadillac and Lincoln, you can sort of monitor 6 months later, although it's hard with cars because you never know, you get the listed price plus what people pay is always about 8 different numbers, right? But if the Mercedes gets a 20% tariff, they eat 5. Okay, so the Mercedes is 15% higher. They have a ready, of course, some people think you never want to drive a Cadillac versus a Mercedes, but by and large, they have a competitor here, say Cadillac and Lincoln. You could find out, I guess, if you really looked, that the Cadillac went up from 30 to 32. Well, we're never going to find out in this massive array of products going back and forth, because that's a real number, too. That goes in the inflation as well, right?
Well, yeah, and this is part of the challenge, and it's pretty serious, is that you've got a lot of game playing and gimmickry within the way that the data gets recorded by the government.
Right.
And so, for example, you know, what we were talking about last week is that when Disney took their entire IT department and basically forced Americans to train their replacements, and then fired all the Americans, right?
Well, that happens.
That should have been, that's actually a double negative to GDP twice. Once, because the guy that gets fired no longer, his C goes down, right? Consumption. Yeah. But secondly, I goes up, which is negative to GDP. All right, so I've got two. So doing that,
plus the guy goes on unemployment.
Well, but you know, but then his consumption stays, but then government goes up.
That's right.
It's a big mess.
It starts to turn.
It generates changes throughout the system. The thing is that what I keep seeing is no evidence that this is being accounted for in that kind of a way, that all they do is look at the stuff that makes the number go up.
I don't think you
could.
They
ignore all the negatives.
I don't know if you could, but you really can't if you don't try.
Well, you most certainly can't do it if you don't take a crack at it, right? So, yeah.
But, we'll find out at the end of the day, but it's coming down to where the people, I do think, the idea of the tax. Now, again, we're starting with this. The thing they got voted on Saturday night is that it adds $1 trillion to the deficit for over the next 10 years. Now, can there be two worse predictions than the Trump tax cut, how much originally it was going to cost people, or the Biden infrastructure, how much it was going to gain for the economy? I don't think it's gained squat. So we've had in the last 8 years two of the worst oopsies out of the office. Management and Buzzet people? The guy, who's the guys that Congress said you got to give us the estimate?
That's OMB, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how would you like to work for those guys? Talk about being politicized. Good Lord.
The entire thing is such a ridiculously insane mess at this point that,
every argument, I have some political arguments with people, every argument has nothing to do with whether somebody's doing a good job. It's if the other side would be worse. That's a horrible way to do it. And it's either way. You know, Biden was a terrible president, but hey, he was better than Trump. Okay, maybe. How do you even win that argument? Carl hit two home runs. Yeah, but that's all right. The guy whose wife made him stay home and cut the grass would have hit three. How does Carl compete against the guy who's not even there?
I know, Chief. It's to a large degree, this kind of thing is just crazy.
Well, I know, but it keeps everybody going while other people are stealing.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, bud. We'll talk on Friday. It seems to have stopped raining a little bit here. Do we have Professor Hale, correct?
Yes, we do.
Hale, how are you, buddy? By the way, you did a hell of a lot of work on that stuff. Thank you.
What'd I do?
And all that tariff stuff. You ran all those numbers and everything?
Well, I used Grok to generate the estimates for the elasticity, so that made it easier.
Grok, that's the guy who plays tight end? Yeah. You used to play tight end?
Yeah.
Well, that was Grok. Okay, Grok.
Yeah, not Grok. Listening to Gronk,
I didn't know he was that good at math. I thought he was just a good tight end.
Well, listening to Gronk on the NFL pregame shows, I'm not sure if he could come up with those numbers. he's an awesome talent, but
did you ever the late great Bill Walton, who I love to talk to? I don't know if you remember. Well, you probably, I don't think you're alive, but when he played college ball, Johnny Wooden kept all the reporters away from him. You couldn't interview him. I don't know what the story was, but so all of a sudden he gives his all of a sudden he gives his interview, right?
Yeah.
And he's sitting out on a rock in the desert with the bandana and the blue jeans and the whole bit, and the tie-dye t-shirt, and he finally gives his first interview. This is back in the day when nobody ever criticized like anybody, if you're on Channel 2 News or Channel 5 News at night. So the guy goes out, and he must have just done a dupe, because he's like, oh man, basketball's like great. I love that. This is the interview. So they pan back, and Bill Walton turned out to be one of the funniest guys, one of the brightest, certainly quick-witted dude you ever come across. And they pan back to the newsroom. And Bruce Roberts is doing the show, and he doesn't say anything. And Jan Drury, I think, was the guy. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease, a horrible death. And Jan Drury was a good guy. So the newsroom is just stunned. They're just sitting there. Finally, Jan Drury goes, "Boy, he sure moves a little quicker to the hoop, doesn't he?" or something. And everybody just burst out laughing. I never saw that. Those guys in those days, how they were. They were so staid. They were so, in their three-piece suits or whatever. They just never went off the thing at all. And all of a sudden, he moves quicker to the hoop. That was... I was roaring laughing.
That's why my brothers and I, my little brother and I, we loved that Sports Illustrated show on CNN with Nick, and it was really good sports. I liked it much more than SportsCenter. SportsCenter to me and my brother Rod in the late 1980s, was kind of rigid. Where I don't know if you remember that. Sports Illustrated show on CNN. They had a sports only broadcast.
I do remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was really good, I thought, because they were less stuffy, and I think that's the reason why ESPN kind of loosened up a little bit. Because they'll take themselves too seriously. It's like,
oh, they think the sports sports is so crazy. Yeah. I
couldn't stand Brett Musburger because every play was like Armageddon.
Yeah.
Right. Every game was Armageddon. I mean, he went way over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another game.
And he was good, but it was just over the top. Come on, dude. It's basketball. Come on. It's not World War III. We're not dropping nuclear bombs. And his broadcast was just over the top. When he first came out.
Well, as a player, I used to play in a bunch of leagues, and obviously in softball. Every game, while you're in it, it's all you think about. I mean, it's all your... And when it's over, it's time to go have a beer. We got another game tomorrow night. What are we doing? What are you
doing? The
best
part of the game was, in my opinion, was when everybody went over to the bar and had a beer and played a little pool.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole thing. It's over. Okay. That's the whole point. You blow off the adrenaline. You bang into someone. He bangs into you.
When Rod and I were playing ball, I would give him an elbow in the chin.
God.
And then after the game was over, it was like nothing ever happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's called blowing off the adrenaline, right? That's what people – well, real quick, talk about a dumb story. We used to play handball a couple nights a week and then two mornings a week. So we picked this guy up at the club, and he was older than me, but I was playing with this older guy. And this guy, I think, was even older, and he was a little slower. I mean, he's probably a lot faster than I am now, but God, this guy was strong as an axe. Hit the ball so damn hard. Your handball hit with your hand. He couldn't cover the court all that well. So one night, our third... But in handball, you could play cutthroat real easy, where the server plays against the other two guys. It's actually really tough to get a point. So to get to 21 is a big workout, because you're playing against two people. Only the server makes the point in handball. So one night, this guy, Larry Stillman... great guy. He can't make it. Some door hit something going. So I call this guy's house, and his mother was living with him and his wife and family. And she answers the phone, and I go, the guy's name was Joe, I think. I said, Joe, I tell Joe, this is Tom. You know, our third can't make it for handball tonight, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we might as well cancel. And she goes, what, are you sick or something? I go, what? She goes, he's had a rough week at work. He needs a game. He needs to blow off some steam. What's the matter with you? Are you sick? She says to me. I go, no, I'm not sick. She goes, he'll be there. Okay, then. And he was. Like, you know, mom's new. That, you know, guys got to go out and blow off some steam. That's what they do. You know, I mean, now what ladies do as well. I mean, it's not like women don't like sports. My mom used to say, I don't understand why guys get to play all these games. I love playing sports, too. Why couldn't I play in high school? I mean, not with the guys, but, I mean, why couldn't girls have a team? I mean, obviously, it's turned out that they have. They can, which is great. Why shouldn't they enjoy it, too? I mean, it's what we do. Anyway, so at the end of the day, I was just trying to talk to Carl about, you know, on this show, we can say it's a tax increase, the tariff, but you don't, in terms of the inflation, how would you guess? I've seen some stuff written about automobiles, and there's actually, even though, you know, Kevin will say absolutely truthfully that people can react quicker. Well, we hope they can, and depending on, you know, if it's a bunch of small motors or something, you would think that there's people here that could react pretty quickly to that. I don't know. In other words, what I'm trying to get to is there's some stuff we get from China in these places or any place that we don't do at all here. I mean, out of 100% of the stuff, maybe 25% of it, you know, or some number, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what the number is. I shouldn't have lobbed one out there, even though I just did. Some of it, there's like no competitor here. Now, will there not be a competitor forever? I doubt it. Now, in that case, at least day one, somebody's going to eat the entire tariff. If, you know, maybe instead of your 82, it might be 95. Okay, the other side doesn't have to eat anything, except there's a little bit of drop in the demand, as it would be in any curve. There's some stuff that maybe we can get from another country whose tariff is a little less, but they're all seem to be 10% or more. And then there's stuff that there's a readily available other person here that makes the stuff that may not raise his price, or maybe he will. And at the end of the day, how do you figure out what's going on? You know, I've never seen anything this big in my life where there's a zillion pieces of information out there, and how are you going to find them all?
Well, the problem with any intervention, whether it's a tax, a legal ban, heavy regulation, the problem is, it's not a problem for a big institutional economies of scale firm. They have the lowest cost. They're probably lobbying for these interventions. The problem is when you impose a tax, a tariff, or increased regulation, is you eliminate the marginal firms, the mom and pop stores. One reason why Walmart and
everything we do seems to get rid of the mom and pop store, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and you know, big corporations have learned this, right? I think you know, maybe they're not modeling it, maybe they're not explicitly supporting something because it benefits them. Maybe they're just supporting it because they want a virtue signal. But McDonald's Walmart.
Sorry to interrupt. Look at what's happened to your small pharmacies because the state doesn't pay them for a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that's the result of government action. So Walmart and McDonald's, I think they used to oppose minimum wage increases, but if you notice lately, they're not really opposing them. Maybe they're doing it for political reasons because they don't want to look as the bad guy, but they can absorb the higher cost at the margin.
Well, they're not. Where they're going to be for them, if the market rate is 15. And some buffoon's going to raise the minimum wage from 9 to 10. They're all for it because it looks like they're philanthropic, but in fact, it doesn't bother them at all.
It doesn't, no.
Yeah. But if you raise it, if the market wage is 15 and you raise it from 12 to 18, they're going to be opposed to it.
Yeah. Well, but they can innovate around it. I think what these big firms have learned, like take, for example, the big cigarette companies. I'm not going to name it. We all know who it is. But the taxes in New York City on cigarettes are so onerous that the black market cigarette commerce is bigger than the legal market.
How far you got to go? I mean, here all you got to do is go to Indiana.
You don't have to go very far. You don't have to go very far to get a low, you know, a tax-free cigarette in New York. You just go to the street corner.
No, I mean, in terms of states, actually, Indiana, I think, just raised theirs. But it used to be, Audrey had a couple of friends that both are dead, by the way, would smoke. And whenever anybody got to Indiana, it was an unwritten rule. You picked up a couple cartons for the other person. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, I have no idea. I mean, let's say if cigarettes are $50 a carton here, or they're 40 in Indiana or something. I don't think it's 20 or anything like that, but it's appreciably less. Or if you're there and you're a smoker, you're going to stop and get something. So, my stupid question is, do you just go over to New Jersey and is it that much cheaper? You got to go further.
No, you just go to the street corner. You pick them up tax free.
I'm saying, if you want to be somewhat legit, is there a state around there that's a lot less? I guess that's what happens here.
But I'll tell you what. Yeah. Cigarette smokers in New York City, they want to be legit, but the taxes are so high, they choose to be criminals.
Where does somebody buy them from nothing, mate? I mean, is somebody bringing them in from Montana or someplace?
Well, I had a student who was in my macro course, and this is before we lived in New York, and we were talking about taxes, and I think we were talking about cigarettes, and she's a white girl in my macro course. At a historically black university, and she was really great in the class because she would always offer these really nuggets of information that I still use to this day. She said she would go to the Native American reservation in near Pembroke. I think it's down, kind of like south.
Do you pay taxes at a BX?
Well, she would go to the reservation.
Can you still buy boxes? I know. Can you still go to the BX?
I can because I'm a veteran.
What's the tax on cigarettes there?
I don't know. I don't buy them.
I know, but if you did, it would.
I would think that they're probably pretty low.
Yeah.
But the federal government does have this idea that they want people to be healthy, so they might not. They might not sell them on a military base.
Or if they did, they'd be upset with you buying 48 cartons.
Yeah, but she was. She told me that she went into the reservation and bought all these cigarette boxes, boxes and boxes, a box containing, what do they call it? The little boxes, cartons and boxes. I don't buy cigarettes.
Carton, I think, has 10 in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So she'd buy a bunch of these. She'd buy big boxes of these packaged cartons that had, you know, the cigarette packs inside of them. And she would ship them to her uncle in Long Island. And then he would sell them out of his garage. That's how people get them. They just ship them.
Oh, all right.
And the only thing
I've ever heard of is you go over to Indiana and buy them.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is it's really expensive to get off Manhattan. You have to pay money to leave Manhattan.
Yeah, the bridge up to now? Like $20 or so?
Yeah, if you leave Manhattan, this makes it even worse. You don't want to drive to New Jersey where you can get gas 30 cents cheaper per gallon. You don't want to go to New Jersey or Connecticut where you can get cigarettes cheaper.
Is there any way off the island that's not a toll?
No.
As
an economist living there for 2 years, I try to map out a way to get from Brooklyn to the mainland of America without paying a toll, and there was no way to do it. They have every way tolled. The only way you can do it is maybe ride a rowboat.
Well, Brooklyn,
how you get your car in a rowboat?
Brooklyn, you're on an island. You got to get off the island.
Yeah. Manhattan's an island, too. The Bronx is the only borough that's part of
Brooklyn Bridge. Brooklyn Bridge isn't toll.
It's not, but you have to pay a toll to get off Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Or you have to pay a toll to get back onto Manhattan. Either way, they got you coming and going.
Yeah, you don't pay both ways. You only pay one way.
Yeah. But if you go to New Jersey or Connecticut to buy a pack of cigs, or buy a lottery ticket, or fill your car up, you got to pay a huge, massive toll to get back into Manhattan. And the people in Staten Island have it the worst because they have to pay a toll going and coming. They have to pay a toll going.
There's no subway. You got to take.
It's the only borough. Staten Island is the only borough that has to pay a toll to get into Manhattan via the Verrazano Bridge.
You got to take the ferry otherwise, right?
Well, you can take the ferry, but again, you got to pay the ferry rate. Right?
I know, but there's no subway to Staten Island.
There is a subway to Staten Island. I think there. No, there isn't.
I don't think there is. No, it's too deep.
Yeah, it's just the. Either you take the ferry, or you pay a toll.
That's unbelievable.
So going back to this example, this big, large, low-cost cigarette producer, they're going to eat very little of the tax because people are addicted to it. So what happens when the tax is imposed? Who's not smoking? Who's not consuming? The marginal teenager who doesn't have the income to pay the now higher cost of a pack of cigarettes, right? So you eliminate them. Who's still buying the cigarettes at the tax? The heavily addicted. Now they have less income to buy healthy food. So the tax actually makes them, the heavily addicted, even more unhealthy because now they're maybe buying cheap processed foods, right? But on the supply side, this onerous tax and the regulation behind it puts out of business small firms, the marginal firms. So you have the tax ends up monopolizing. It creates a monopoly for this big cigarette company who has just a it can have small margins.
Hell, I wish I would have taped. Of course, nobody has a tape machine anymore. I wish I would have taped the interview where the small restaurant out in Western Burbs was being shut down the second time for COVID. And the guy looks across the street at a Walmart or a Costco or someplace, and he goes, serving hot dogs over there, and everybody's standing next to each other, and why we're shut down? What the hell?
Fortunately, Utah, we were living in Utah during the pandemic, and things weren't that bad. I mean, people were, commerce was still going on. The only thing you had to do is you had to wear a mask and walk in the direction of those arrows, which I never did. I always walked against the arrows at Walmart.
The best was...
I was walking in Walmart going, this is ridiculous. I got an arrow on the ground telling me how to walk through Walmart, and I just ignored them like everybody else did. Most people in Utah ignored the arrows at Walmart.
Well, the young lady who used to help us with the show, Angelica, who gave us the best sports report ever, the one about the Pistons. Bulls lose to Pistons. I go, Angelica, it's Pistons. What's a Piston? Why would somebody name a team Pistons? It's the Motor City. Pistons part of a car. What's the difference? All they do is lose anyway. It was the world's best sports report in her very Ukrainian accent. Everybody loved it, right? Well, she, during COVID, she had this apartment up on the north side. I don't even know if she had a window. I think she might have. So she used to go for a walk on the lakefront. Well, you couldn't walk on the lakefront. Or you could walk, but you couldn't stop.
Yeah.
One morning she's walking along, and she's the only person out there, so she sits on a bench. These two cops come up and say, hey, you got to keep moving. She goes, what do you mean there's nobody here? Doesn't matter. You got to keep moving.
Yeah. Now, the funny thing is, Tyrus is a guy on the Gutfeld show, and he's like 6'8", probably 300-plus pounds. And he's a former wrestler. He's a former bodyguard of Snoop Dogg, but he's a regular on the Gutfeld show every night. And he told a funny story about his daughter being really smart. On the airlines, you could have your mask down if you were drinking.
Yeah.
So she would get this big 54-ounce cup. It was empty and had a straw, and she'd have her mask down. And anytime the flight attendant would walk by, she'd put the straw up to her mouth. And the cup was empty, and Tyrus is going, man, I wish I would have thought about that.
Well, I'm gonna guess that the two cops really wanted to see her walking away in her tight pants.
Who was that?
Angelica. You got a nice figure. I'm going to say the cop just wanted to see her walking away.
Oh, you mean the one that was walking the lake? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
probably.
Yeah. Then there's the Harvard University. It's why... I don't have a lot.
By the way, the siren is not near my house.
No, it's right here. We've had nothing but accidents all over the place. So there's people running around, grabbing people out of. We had all kinds of rain here.
It reminds me of New York. Well, New York, there's every once in a while there's a pop, 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 and then a siren.
Well, they talk about semis rolling in the ditch on entrance ramps here this morning. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like it never rained before. But at the end of the day, we've got the market running up. We interest rates now starting to creep because obviously people's intention on the inflationary expectations are moving up, and rightfully so. We've seen the money supply nudging up some more. We've seen, obviously, the way that the taxes are being imposed, it's going to end up being inflationary. Now, the interesting part is, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that if you raise like the sales tax. If you did that in Illinois here, is the CPI on the price, or is it on the price plus tax?
I think when they go into the stores, and I've never worked for the BLS, but when they go into the stores, they're just looking at the price. Okay, so I don't think it includes right, the sales.
So the,
they're going in there and pricing stuff. And they go around with their little computer, their handheld.
And
they go around and price.
Okay, the administration's infinite wisdom to do the tariff thing and tell you it's not a tax, or be bitching about everybody who says it's a tax. That tax is going to show up in the price. So it will be.
Yeah,
when I say it's inflationary, it's liable to show up in CPI, where if you increase the sales tax, even though it is inflationary in what you pay, it probably doesn't affect the CPI. Am I correct in that?
I think that's true, yeah. Yeah, the problem with the tariff is it puts out of business the smaller firm that doesn't have economies of scale in the foreign country. The large corporation that has the economies of scale is going to brush it off. They're going to probably eat a little bit of the tax. But what
walk us through that. I mean, if somebody's buying, you know, pick a Chinese good. If IKEA is buying shot glasses from China, and I have a small a liquor store, and we just have some shot glasses in there. Why is the shot glass going to go up for us and not for IKEA?
Well, it goes back to this idea that when you impose a tax or some regulation, it puts out of business the marginal firm that has that needs a higher price to justify the commerce. So what's going to end up happening is the big firms are probably going to be fine. It's going to eliminate the competition, and that's what these big corporations want.
But no matter who they are, if the price goes up 10% to you and me, it's going to drop the quantity demanded. Yeah. So if they drop their price, it's either going to affect. I mean, when Trump said to Walmart, "Eat the tariffs," what he's really saying is cut your margin.
Yeah.
Now you're saying that Walmart can cut their margin, and other people can't. I think Walmart's margin's pretty narrow.
The voters, the people that vote for Trump, tend to be Walmart shoppers. So what Trump's doing there is he's saying, "Hey, my supporters are MAGA. MAGA shops at Walmart. Do you want to upset my voters, do you?" Well, I think that's what he's doing there.
But Walmart,
he's not telling Nordstrom.
I don't think Walmart's... I'm going to say their margin in the grocery store... Of course, how much you get from the grocery store...
Oh, grocery store margins are tiny.
Yeah, I'm saying... I suppose... Again, I went through this the other day, and it's so hard to go through, because everything's... Let's for instance, you got a Chevy pick-me-up, like I do. Somebody whacks into my rear light, and you know, doesn't do any other damage. I can go online, and I probably can get that light, whatever the thing is, the whole fixture, from General Motors for a GM part. What am I guessing? $125. I'll bet I can get one from probably made in China someplace or somewhere for $40. Now, no matter what, that thing is going to go from 40 to. What are we up to China? 30%? It's got to be 52. Now they might sneak a buck.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with all that. You can also get it used from a salvage yard.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people are good. So firms have a lot less power than you think they do.
Let's just say that the me ordering it online and having it showing up at my door is a slightly different product than me slogging through the mud in some place where the guy says the Chevy.
Well, you don't have to slog through the mud, because the salvage yards, they go through these new vehicles that have been wrecked. They take the stuff off for you, and then they sell it through eBay.
A lot of the places here, you go pick them.
Oh, no, no.
I know, there's both kinds.
When I had my 68 Ford pickup truck, back in graduate school, the internet was a thing at the point. Whenever I needed to depart, I go online and try to find the cheapest part I could for my 68 Ford, because I didn't have any income. I was a teaching assistant. So you'd be surprised how much good quality merchandise is out there at these salvage yards.
But you also, I think, maybe with your very storied career you've had from the Navy and the whole bit all the way through, you'd be surprised, because I'll tell you what, these people are really good at this. The first guy that knows that the price from China is now 52 instead of 40 is the guy in the salvage yard. Yeah. And if his was 40, his is now 50.
Yeah, but see, the salvage yard with the internet and the ability to ship to anywhere in the United States.
I know, I understand that.
They're all competing against each other. They're all competing against.
They all know that now their chief competitor is 52. And maybe they won't be 48, but they're not going to be 40 anymore either. You know that. Yeah. You're the one who just gave me the graph.
Oh, I know. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of competitors for these auto parts.
I'm saying, but nobody's at... Why is it 40? Because that's what I can get. Now, if it's 45, that's what I can get. Do you think umbrellas were the same price this morning as yesterday when it's pouring out?
Well, let's just say this. If gas prices are higher in New York because they raised the gas tax, people can't really drive to New Jersey to buy New Jersey gasoline.
Right.
But if you raise the gas tax in Washington State and you live in Lewiston, Idaho, or you live in Clarkson, Washington, and they don't raise it in Idaho, you can drive across the border into Lewiston, and the gas prices will rise because demand is higher. So there's this interplay between supply and demand.
Well, that's what we're all.
It's never going to be. It's never going to be.
We're arguing the same subject, no matter what it is.
It's never going to be a one for one. It's never going to be a one for one.
What we're saying is every single product. Our jousting here is proving to the listeners how complicated this is.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I mean, it's not about we're lobbing a 30% tariff on. By the way, you guys eat it. Yeah. It's not like that, is it?
Yeah, the burden's shared, and
well,
how much,
and to a certain extent, and sometimes it's shared a real lot, and sometimes not at all.
When the product involves an addiction like caffeine, or cigarettes, or alcohol, or whatever, when the product or gasoline, because you're stuck with your SUV and it uses eight and you get 18 miles a gallon. Right, you're addicted to that gasoline. You got to get to work. The consumer tends to pay most of the burden. But if there's lots of choices, and people can choose not to buy, people can choose to buy used, people can buy parts from a wrecking yard. When the choices are many, the consumer's going to pay a much smaller burden.
The only thing we're arguing about is I'm going to tell you that the guy in the wrecking yard knows a lot faster than you and I that the price from China, his competitor just went up, and his went up a little bit too.
Oh, I know, yeah. I know he does that. But if he tries to raise his price too high...
Oh, yeah. Then the
person with the vehicle is probably going to park that vehicle for a little while and wait for prices to go down.
You know what I'd love to look at, only because I found it, and it was... we got to go to the break here. Yeah. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think you were on it, when we had the tax on Liechtenstein. And I'm sitting there going, what the bleep? I thought all they had was a bunch of banks over there.
Yeah.
You know what they export?
Yeah, that's a really interesting country because it's basically a privatized economy where the government is basically privatized.
Now, I know a guy like you with three...
Really fascinating.
A guy like you with three bank accounts over there probably knows way more about it than I do.
Oh, I don't have any bank accounts there. I just know that it's a little...
No, you can say that on the air.
Isn't it like in the... Fairs of Champagne or Antwerp area?
Yeah, it's somewhere
over
there.
Isn't it there? Yeah.
But, I mean, evidently it's better for quiet banking now than Switzerland. So I figure a guy like you. Anyway, I dig it. I'm sitting there going, why would we, Trump, put a tariff on these guys? All they have is money. Well, it turns out they have one export that we get. You know what it is?
Nah.
False teeth. Choppers.
False teeth.
Well, I mean, and I'm sitting there going... Actually, there are people, because I know one of my good friends, his sister, he spent a fortune on her, she doesn't have any insurance, on her dental stuff, and she had to pull like most of her teeth, and it turns out a lot of this happens to people. It happens more, I happen to know, happens more to women than men, and a lot of the times you have a calcium deficiency, so the bone in your jaw is not strong enough for them to put the implants in. So there still are people that need the whole set of false choppers like you saw when we were a kid. You know, I mean, when was the last time you saw anybody with false teeth? I mean...
Most people I know that have...
Yeah, implants of some kind, yeah.
Those issues, they just get implants.
Yeah, well, but some people, you can't do it. Well, evidently, Liechtenstein still exports. And I'm thinking, the people here still make... What if they're the only maker. I don't know if they are. What if they're the only maker of really good false teeth? I'm going to say the entire 30% is on you, not on them, right?
Yeah, well, that is the case, yeah. Remember the 1980s? It seemed like every other ad was like about gluing dentures to your gums. And you don't really see those ads anymore.
Well, if you go back in my mom, learned a lot from her. Back in the day when she was a kid, if you had a toothache, they just pulled your tooth. There was no, I mean, maybe they'd fill it. I mean, if you go back into the movie stars of the 30s, how many guys, mostly guys, how many guys in their late 30s had a full set of chopper, a false chopper?
Yeah, yeah. So you look at the movies in the 80s, people have yellow teeth. It's, you know, in the 80s, normal, but today, you have to have this brilliantly white Ross, you know, fake white smile.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Well, it's anyway. SP Futures down 13, NASDAQ Futures down 80. 30-year bond is up a little bit, but it crossed 5% yesterday. It came flying way down to 4.94. Now we're up to 4.95. I don't know if you noticed. We'll talk about it when we come back, y'all. First uptick in the Fed balance sheet in a while last week. Do you think they're buying this stuff? We'll be right back.
Yep.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blown up by Stacks and Jacks. After now, Ricky on the board. We're all dry. By the way, it wasn't raining near as bad when I walked from the car as it was when I pulled out of the alley. I was hoping it wasn't going to be that bad. SP Futures down 15. NASDAQ Futures down 86. Home Depot's a mover. It's up 843 after their earnings. United Health, boy, oh, boy. Talk about it. You know, I guess this is I'll just state the facts. Stock has gone from like 6-something, made it down every day. And all of a sudden, the Medicare, they came out with an investigation on Medicare. The stock traded 260, and now it's up $60 from there. So a lot of people seem to have known about that before the announcement. Maybe it might have been the news. As soon as it hit that bottom spot, boy, what a buy, up $60. We did not buy any, but we got to pay to play. The volatility was real high. But still, it was I think the straddle was about $18. It was pretty high, but then again, it would have been a nice buy. Now it's $60. Over in Europe, these guys are higher. DAX up 133.5%, FTSE up 56.6, CAC around up 50.6. They probably know that we'll probably end up higher as we have buyers all over the place. Nikkei up 30, call that flat. Hang Seng up 348, that's 1.5%. China dropped their prime loan rate, so they cut their interest rates. Shanghai is up 13, that's 0.4%. So a lot of stuff going on here this morning. Bonds. Up 0.1 basis point. This is a 10-year, 4.48. The Bund is up 1 basis point, 2.59. Japan up 4 basis points, 1.52. Again, I can say yesterday, the 30-year went to over 5, and the 10-year was at made it almost like a 4.9. But the 30-year came way back, like halfway, and the 10-year really didn't. So it was kind of an interesting day in that regard. Pretty big spread there during the day between the 30 and the 10. Just as a way of review, S&P was up 5 yesterday, NASDAQ up 4, so we ended up just a little bit. The futures were higher because of that anomaly that I mentioned Friday night, where the downgrade came out after the close on Friday, so there was a mismatch between the future and the cash. I'm not going to go through it again. We went through it yesterday twice. Foreign exchange, pretty steady. The euro is at 1.12. British pound is at 1.33, so not much going on there today. Crypto down 602, but still 104.750 at a pretty high. Gold up 910, 3242. Silver up 18 cents, 3269. And last but not least, oil down 15 cents, mired at the 62. It's gone from maybe 55 when the one day when the Saudis were going to put oil out there, and we're going as high as 65, but Seems like 62 is the number. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Morning, Chief. It's currently 7:38 a.m. here in Chicago. 51 degrees right now with a high of 56. Periods of rain and a thunderstorm today. Windy and cool, and ponding is possible on streets and highways, so drive safely. Tonight will be cloudy and windy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm with a low of 52 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona is a whole nother story. 70 degrees right now with a high of 100 degrees. Warm with plenty of sun. Tonight will be clear with a low of 71 degrees. Sounds nice, right, Chief? Traffic in Chicago, Iman Kennedy from Monroe, we're looking at 51 minutes. 70 minutes, Iman Ines from Lane Cook. Iman Eisenhower from Wolf, 48 minutes. Iman Den Ryan from 95th, 34 minutes. Lastly, Stevenson from 294 to the Den Ryan, 42 minutes. Last Sunday, Panthers throttled Maple Leafs in Game 7, score is 6-1. Florida wins series 4-3. And today, we got the Eastern Final Game 1 for NHL, Panthers at Hurricanes, 7 p.m. MLB, yesterday, the Marlins beat the Cubs, 8-7. Mariners beat the White Sox, 5-1, and Diamondbacks beat Dodgers 9-5. Today, we got back-to-back games. Cubs at Marlins, 5:40 p.m. Mariners at White Sox, 6:40 p.m., and Diamondbacks at Dodgers, 9:10 p.m. Lastly, NBA. Last Sunday, Thunder thrashed Nuggets, 125-93, earning a trip to the Western Conference Final, which is today. Game 1, Timberwolves at Thunder, 7:30 p.m. Back over to you guys.
That should be interesting. I think the Thunder's probably the better one, but Timberwolves have a couple of guys. They play pretty well in their series, too. So those teams are two young teams. It should be an interesting series, to say the least. Do you follow basketball, hockey, anything, Hal? What do you?
Well, yesterday I worked on – I'm teaching a summer class in health economics. And so I was working on that until, like, midnight. And my wife woke me up this morning, and I was really in a deep sleep. I don't think I've been in that deep of a sleep since – I don't know when, maybe 20 years, and it took me an hour to wake up this morning. So I have no idea what's going on in sports. I did watch a little bit of, like, the Celtics-Brooklyn series.
Okay.
And I'm just, no offense to Boston Celtic fans, but I'm glad they're out, because, my goodness, I can't watch that kind of basketball where you have four guys on the outside of the three-point line. A guy drives the center lane and then kicks it to the open guy and they shoot a three. Oh, yeah. I mean, that style of basketball is so freaking...
Well, you know, it brings up all kinds of mixed emotions on my part, because my local watering hole, the official watering hole of Stocks and Jocks, is a Triple E Tap, right?
Yeah.
It happens to be a Boston bar.
Yeah. Irish pub.
Yeah, so most nights you can go in there and... you know, you get good chata, good food, and it's like a Cheers bar. You know everybody in the place.
Yeah.
Except when there's a Boston game. These guys are so obnoxious, and they're so damn loud, it's unbelievable. All of a sudden, they have to cheer every basket, and people are trying to talk in a place. I mean, granted, it's a bar. You can be loud in a bar, but they are obnoxious. So I loved my buddy to get the business, and I can't stand being there when those guys are there. So that's mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, when you watch, turn on SportsCenter, and they're doing NBA highlights, you got a problem with your product. When every highlight is a three freaking pointer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
you have a problem. He hits a three from 4 feet behind the three-point line.
It's either that or some wild dunk.
Yeah, but it seems like most of the highlights are three-point shots. Every time I turn on SportsCenter, I can't watch it.
Just to show you how the little bits of stuff, Stocks and Jacks, I mean, Hal and I are always jousting about the little bits of economic stuff that you have to pay attention to, even though you can't really make a trade on them, right? I mean, it's hard to... I mean, even though you think...
Well, one thing you do know is the Fed's going to inflate, so you go long. Right? Well, and you ride out the ups and downs.
Well, you definitely... Well, you want to buy the dip until you do, right? It's the one day it won't move.
Yeah, but...
you know, but generally... but I'm watching the Cubs get this new DH, right? The guy's name is Moises Ballesteros. And he's this kind of... He's from, I don't know where the hell he's from. He's from maybe the Dominican Republic, something.
Is that the same last name as that golfer from Spain? Ballesteros? Debbie?
Yeah. He's a catcher, first baseman, bats left, throws right, born in Los Teques. Where the hell is that? You know where that is, Ricky?
Los Teques. Is that Mexico?
TQUES.
Honestly, it doesn't ring a bell. TQUES?
Yeah. TQES.
Let me look it up right now.
Anyway, the guy is they shipped pictures of films of his batting up to the Cubs when he was like in high school, or like early in high
school.
Is
that Los Tecos?
Yeah.
Los Tecos?
Yeah, he, so they sent pictures up, and the guy says, well, Venezuela. He's from Venezuela. So they,
So
the kid, they sent,
he's not going to be going to one of those Venezuelan prisons.
I hope not. But he decided to,
well, he's legal. I mean, he's got a big baseball contract.
Yeah, and he's, so they said, you got to send me pictures of some of his bad swings, not just the good ones.
Yeah.
And the guy writes back, these are the bad swings. The guy takes them. He's got a great swing. He's got a great eye. He's a little pudgy. I mean, there's no way he could be anything other than a catcher, or maybe a first baseman.
Well, in baseball, you could be a little pudgy, right?
But he's, for a guy who was born, when the hell was he born? November 2003, so he's 21 years old. I'm going to say 3 years ago I could have beat him in a race. You know, he's really slow. So last night, the Cubs are down by 4 runs, and they got guys on, the bag's loaded. Some guy hits a triple. Well, a double, I think it was. And this guy's on first, and they go that they're sending him. And I'm going, if that's that guy, don't be sending him. You know, sure enough, he's called safe at the plate, but he has a crummy slide, and his foot went over the base. He never touched the plate. His old leg went over the home plate. So, of course, they do it on replay, and they pull the run off the board. Well, that's the run they lost by. And there was nobody out. So then the next guy scored, so he would have scored if they just left him on third. I mean, I don't know why that guy had to be gagging when he made it all the way around three bases. Yeah. You know, it doesn't make him bad. He's going to be a really good player.
It sounds like a play that the Indians in Major League made.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
just a bit outside.
But you know, I'm sitting there going, I don't think he would ever want to send this guy ever. Unless the ball's out of the park. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, it's bad managing. You don't want to.
It was a real close play, and if he'd have slid properly, he'd have been okay. Yeah. But how many times does this guy score from first base sliding at the plate? I mean, it has to be. It's not his game. But anyway,
well, so his game is coming across the plate when there's a home run.
Yeah, well, he hits the plate. He amazing batting eye. You see the guy has. And every time he swings, at least he fouls it off. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, but how many fouls have you?
What are the most foul offs he's ever had?
I don't know. He's only been up. I've only watched him bat a few times. I've been here a couple.
Well, I remember watching Pete Rose in the '80s and. It was the most amazing bat I'd ever seen in my life because he fouled off like...
I've seen guys do 10 and 12.
Pete Rose fouled off 21 straight pitches or something.
Nothing is more frustrating for a pitcher.
Oh!
The only thing in softball, the nice thing is you can't just hit balls out there to chase the left fielder around. You get with two strikes, you get one foul. Second foul, you're out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it just was amazing watching that at bat because... He just totally discouraged the pitcher. He was doing it on purpose.
Well, that's why...
Doing it on purpose, yeah.
That's why in early baseball, that's why if you bunt foul on third strike, you're out. There were guys that would just wear the pitcher out, would bunt foul 40, 50 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine how boring that was to watch.
Oh, yeah, but this at-bat was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life because he totally demoralized the pitcher. They had to take him out early. And guess what? He hit something up the middle that, you know, I think it skidded along the AstroTurf, and it went for a double. Of course, Pete's gonna slide head first in a second on that double, right?
What do you make of
a crazy at bat?
What do you make of those guys being reinstated by the?
Oh, I love it! League. I love it! You know, I think it should have happened further or earlier because
why?
You know, Pete got caught, but I swear to God, it was going on. I mean, anytime you ban something, those guys—they're competitive. Look at Jordan. I mean, he was bet on everything. So I mean, he just got caught. And you know,
he didn't just get caught. He was habitual.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in his position that are doing that kind of thing.
But he would buy a Mercedes 2 days later, bring the Mercedes back when he started losing.
Yeah, well, I mean that he had an issue, right? We don't ban a guy that has an alcohol problem. We want to help him, right?
Okay, but I'm not arguing. I'm just. Yeah. It may sound like I am.
Based on what he did on the field, the guy should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, but here's my...
5 years after he left baseball.
It's the same argument, you know, that maybe Kevin and I have once in a while. And, you know, is whether or not, like the Biden thing, is it technically correct that maybe he had... There's a good chance he had the prostate cancer earlier and nobody knew about it? Yeah, there's probably a real good chance. Is there any reason?
Harvard medical doctors were on CNN saying that.
Okay, but is there any reason for the current vice president to say that?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't think he should be play it above. You know, he'll get more credibility if he stops insulting people.
But I mean, Steve Stone
insulted people, got him elected. Now he needs to govern and maybe play it above the fray.
Oh, it's not gonna happen. But I'm saying, Steve Stone, who's I think when he was younger, was the best color analyst I ever saw, and a really good pitcher. I'll tell you Steve Stone's story one day about drugs. He said, they asked him about Pete Rose. He goes, every locker room I've ever been in, there's a sign on the wall talking about gambling and how sacred it was for the league that nobody is doing this. He goes, for somebody to do it, he goes, I have no sympathy for him. Every single locker room I've ever been in that was in there.
Yeah.
Now, so there's, but then you're going to have. I'm not going to accuse you of being the new world. The new world is. I can think of somebody else who did it, and therefore it's okay.
But I think the difference with Pete Rose is he wasn't purposely losing games to win a bet.
Well, okay, but he said he never bet on the game, his team.
If he was laying bets and then striking out on a game winning attempt.
Okay, but I'm saying he's managing, he's betting on other games going on.
Yeah, but
it becomes moral relativism, and everybody's guilty of it to a certain extent.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't think I'm as guilty of it, to be honest, as you are.
Because the guy was a POS, probably on a personal level.
Okay, but I have issues with what's his name, the manager.
Yeah.
Who am I talking about? It was just on the White Sox. When all these guys are shooting up in his locker room, and he's supposed to know everything was going on in the locker room, and now he's in the Hall of Fame, and they're not.
Yeah.
You know, I have an issue with that. So to a certain extent...
Oh, Laredo or Tony
La Russa? Tony La Russa. To a certain extent, I'm a moral relativist, too. But this world, let's put it this way. When I grew up, if you screwed up, your mom was pissed at you, the last thing you wanted to say is, it was okay for the other kid to do it.
Yeah.
That's not what you wanted to say. But now it seems like that if you can think of somebody who's worse, now it's okay. If you front run a trade, well, these other guys are front running. What's the problem?
My old position is, if you do the time, like say you get thrown in jail at 18 for doing some unspeakable act, you're an 18-year-old kid. If you do the time and your time is immaculate, and you use that time to get a degree, and now you're out of jail, I say expunge the person's record, because if you don't, you're setting them up for failure. Because are they going to be able to get a job?
I don't disagree. Yeah. And you know what's even more bizarre? I knew guys.
And I think Pete did his time. So you know what? Expunge his record.
There's a character. I'm just playing a little bit of a devil's advocate here because I mean, there was a time when there's a character clause allegedly in the Hall of Fame. Okay. Before you go off on me about Ty Cobb gambled, Honus Wagner gambled. I mean, we know now those things came out.
Back then, those guys were making peanuts.
I've heard rumors that Pete did other stuff, like, you know, there's I won't say 15 or 25, but let's say there's more than one person that bought his 1,000th hit bat.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That evidently kept going on because he kept being broke and then not broke.
Yeah.
You know, here you have a guy that is an ambassador, supposedly, to Major League Baseball, that's signing autographs in the morning and going to the casino and losing the money in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, I mean, those are bad choices that he made. Yeah.
You know, and now, should there be a special wing in the Hall of Fame? You know, I don't know. I mean, the whole steroid thing, I was reading something about that because somebody was reading an article yesterday. The same people that are all against the steroid people are the same people that made money off them that when they were doing the steroids. I mean, how much money did the Cubs make because Sammy Sosa hit more than 60 home runs 3 years in a row? And all of a sudden, oh, man, I can't believe the guy was doing steroids. I mean, come on. there was a picture, you know, it's got to be someplace. There was a picture of that dude when he won the home run derby in Milwaukee, whatever year that was. The day before, he's practicing. Now, one year, when he was on the Cubs, and he had a pretty decent year. Well, the next year, there was an article about how he showed up, and the equipment guy, Yash Kawano, or hell his name was at the time, but it was a fixture, really, gave him his uniform, and he couldn't fit in it. Now, all of us gain a couple pounds as we get older, but he had to give him a whole new uniform because he'd gotten so big. Well, there's a picture of him leaning on his bat, you know, after he'd hit his, talking to two other big stars, and all he had on was his tight T-shirt. His bicep, his arm, there isn't a guy who's in the Mr. Olympia competition that wouldn't give his left nut for that arm. The three, four muscles that are up there are so defined, I'm going, that's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that in a bodybuilder, much less a baseball player. I mean, whatever he was taking, he was taking the good stuff. I mean, it just didn't happen at age, whatever the hell it was, 32 or something. I mean, how did anybody not know he was on something? And you know, his testimony in the U.S. Senate was the best I've ever heard. First of all, when he got there, he couldn't understand English, right, all of a sudden. I don't know if you remember this. And evidently he didn't like needles, so he never did that. What he said was, now this is like, you know, somebody, the critique of Stocks and Jocks could say, guess what he said? He said, I have never broken the laws of the Dominican Republic or the United States of America, and I have never shot myself up with needles. All across the country was Sammy Sosa denies ever taking steroids. No, he didn't, did he? But he said he took pills, and he took them not in the U.S. or in the Dominican Republic, didn't he? Are you there? Did we lose?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, now, what he said was he only took pills, and he didn't do them in the Dominican Republic or the U.S. He didn't say he never took steroids, did he?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like when Clinton says, depends on what the word is means, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very kind of snaky language.
I've never had sex with that woman. Okay, well, yeah. Some people don't consider oral sex sex. I mean, evidently he didn't. You know, yeah. So I'm going to say that there's probably a lot of teenagers that feel the same way.
Yeah. I'm sure that those statements were prepared for him, right, by his lawyers. I mean, he said it in a way where he didn't perjure himself, right? But, I mean, you see that in a lot of stories. You see people kind of sliming their way. And then the story is written in a certain way where it invokes this image where, oh, the person denied it.
Yeah. Right. No, they didn't.
Well, when they use a lot of maybes and can.
Well, what he said was he wasn't into needles. That I get.
Yeah.
I can't see being shot up in a locker room. I couldn't. Did you ever actually read the A-Rod's or the was it either him or the guy who gave him the steroids? His book. You ever read his book? I've read excerpts of it. It is unbelievable how good these guys were at this.
Yeah,
and that. Certain stuff, if he wasn't feeling, didn't have enough energy in a night game, there was certain stuff you could take up to the fifth inning and still pass the test the next morning. Others, we could never take it past like the fifth inning, and there was other stuff you take a little later that was a little. And I didn't realize that when we talked about on Stocks and Jocks, that if you ever have to pee for drugs, there's a way to do it. Now, I would never. I don't know if you knew this or not. There's a way to do it.
Well, I knew somebody at a float glass plant that I worked at after the Navy. I was working in Michigan where they say, hey, John, let's get a cup of coffee. Guy comes over to my house, and I just gave my 2 weeks' notice, or it was the end of my 2 weeks' notice. I was heading out of town at that moment to go back to Idaho to go to college for the third time. And he comes over to the house and goes, hey, Hal, I need you to get a clean sample from you because I have a job interview today.
Well, yeah, you can do that. What? You can do that.
And I'm like, well, my system's loaded up with alcohol. And he goes, yeah, but the employer doesn't care about the alcohol in your urine. What he cares about is marijuana. So I gave him a clean sample.
I knew a guy from the was in the U.S. Was it the USFL or the Arizona Wranglers and those guys when they were at the other football league?
Yeah,
you could just bring your urine in. So they would meet at the Waffle House and one guy pee for like four guys. But you would think, I mean, just as a regular human being, male or female, I guess it doesn't matter, that you're just walking around and bouncing around and sitting and getting up, that your urine would sort of be mixed up.
Yeah.
Evidently it's not.
Yeah.
That if you pee for drugs, you give a squirt in the toilet for a little bit, then you pee in the cup, then you finish up in the toilet. Evidently, the middle part of the, if you're going to pee 8 ounces, the middle four is a lot cleaner than the first two or the last two.
I didn't even know that.
How would anybody have guessed that?
Yeah.
In my wildest dreams, I would never have guessed you could do that.
Somebody's just trying to hide their drug use, their illegal drug use. Yeah. Something like that.
But, you know, A-Rod only paid the guy, how did he pay him, $100,000 for the whole season or something? Mm. A-Rod was making how many million? This guy was with him on the road. Yeah. And evidently, he was in the dugout with him.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of sounds like the Japanese pitcher, first baseman, home run slugger, Otani.
Yeah.
And his bookie.
Oh, yeah, it was.
When I hear that story, I'm like, dude, you freaking knew, man. There's no way you didn't know that your dude was.
Well, I'll tell you what, I somewhere in my next life, I want to have a bank account that I don't know that somebody took like $3 million out of.
Yeah.
Good lord.
There's no way that guy didn't know.
Okay. While we have a what do we got here? 1 minute. When, if ever, is the amount of money going to the system, the amount of tariffs that are going to be counted as inflation unless we really screw up the CPI, and we've got the 30-year and 10-year rates sneaking up here, when or if is that ever going to cause a problem for the stock market? Should anybody be aware of it? Should they be protecting themselves? Should they just not worry about it because they always go up? Where do you stand on that?
You know, if you look at tax revenue growth and you look at government spending growth, you know, I think the Fed is going to continue to inflate. And the latest increase in reserves, I think it jumped up, what, 45%? What was it? Well, I just had it here. Well,
the balance sheet just went up a little bit last week.
Yeah. I have it right here. 4.5% from the previous month, from February to March, total reserves jumped 4.5%, which is a large.
You're looking at reserves. At M2 was like 5.1.
Yeah. But I'm just looking at reserves, and that bumped up 4.5% from February to March of this year, which is large, but it's not as big as the one that happened in March of 2023. That was 7.8%. So I think what's happening there is if the economy is growing, if it's actually growing,
you think it is?
Demand for reserves builds, and so the Fed all of a sudden has to keep those reserves bottled up. It has to start purchasing. It has to start purchasing to keep those reserves in the system.
If you lean on, lie about, don't exaggerate. If you continually underestimate the inflation number, how the hell do you know if the economy's ever really grown? I think you could make a case for the last 20 years. It's 16 years we're in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because if you look at M2 growth, the economy hasn't been growing. If you use that as your inflation metric, we haven't had any real growth for probably 20 years.
I think if you were to take, Carl knows more about, and you probably do too, how screwed up the home price of homes part is with the rental part. I think if you nudge the hospital care part from 7% of the basket to close to 20 in the CPI, it would jump the CPI enough to where we would have had no growth in probably 2/3 of the last 20 years.
Well, if you actually measured healthcare expenditures correctly, what they do now is they have this like metric based on like profit.
Well, no, yeah, but they also only count it as 6.5% of your basket. Yeah, 20% of the economy. So. Yeah. Well, hell, we got a dash. Anything fun on your agenda? Now that you're not teaching, are you guys taking a trip? What are you doing?
Well, I'm actually teaching a summer. I'm teaching a summer course, and last night I was working on it until midnight.
What's it in? What are you teaching?
Health economics, and the course, instead of going over like 14, 15 week semester, it's like half that. So I have to somehow compress a semester long course.
And how long are the classes?
Like 4 or 5 weeks.
How long are the classes?
I mean, it's asynchronous online. So what I did is I basically doubled up. I doubled up the assignments to get them all squeezed in.
But I mean, if you were given a class, would it be twice a week? Yeah, 150 minutes or what?
This class is going to meet probably 3 times a week to get all the material in.
Okay, so that's serious stuff. So you're getting a full quarter credit out of the thing. And
Yeah, but I think when you're talking about summer school, they only take maybe one course at a time.
All right.
It's okay to compress it like that.
All right. Well, yeah. Good luck to you, man. One of these days, you'll see me in the back with a tomato in my hand or a water balloon.
Oh, yeah, bring the tomatoes, bring the lettuce, bring the fish.
Nah, I've got to throw fish. Anyway, SP Futures down 13, NASDAQ Futures down 81. Al, thank you. Nice job, Ricky, with the rain. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
That's all, folks.